Welcome, everyone. I'm glad everyone's here. We didn't get a chance to say hello to everyone, but we do have quite a few people on the call today, so I'm glad you're all here. As most of you know, I'm Lisa Pisano. I think I've met all of you, but welcome. I'm delighted, really, to spend some time with all of you connecting, first of all, connecting, which is great, and sharing and discussing a little bit about these unprecedented times. Just so much has changed. A lot has changed over the past month. So, I mean, really for everyone. I mean, I think all of our lives have kind of turned sideways or upside down. And as I've talked to many of my friends, family, clients, students, our faculty, we all find ourselves with a range of thoughts and feelings. And I've heard some people say that they're really tired or they're really overwhelmed. Some people are really busy. Some people are really bored. some people are concerned, anxious, fearful. But most of all, we have a lot of questions. We have tons of questions. These are times that we've never really navigated before. So we here at CTA wanted to spend some time talking with all of you about what all this means for us as coaches and how we can really kind of lean into this time and use it as a place to learn, to grow, and maybe even discover some possibilities that are lying, you know, beneath or just under the surface of this kind of new now we're living in. So with all that being said, today we are joined with CTA President Chris Osborne, who's going to share with us a little bit about what the current environment means for us as coaches. Also, we've got Dr. Dave Kruger, our Dean of Faculty, and CTA Mentor Coach Jennifer Powers with us. So, hey guys, I'm glad you all could be here today and in this hopefully lively discussion and with some great Q&A at the end. So let's start with Chris. Hey Chris, thanks for being here today. This was a great idea, so I'm so glad you thought of it and that we all got a chance to do this. So. Many of you know that CTA has been a distance training company, training coaches for 20 years now, so we've been at this for a long time. And Chris, what would you tell coaches about times like these when there's, you know, economic uncertainty?
Well, Lisa, thanks for the question, and thanks everyone for taking time this morning. We appreciate it. I'm not going to dodge your question. I'm going to answer it in a moment, but I just want to revisit what we were talking about pre-call, which is what inspired you and I to talk about this as an idea, which is we had our normal faculty call last week, and it's one of my favorite times of the month because I get to hear from our mentor coaches, who we're blessed to have a couple with us here today. But and as we were talking pre-call here with Dr. Dave, you know, we started that call with a lot of questions, like you alluded to, that we're all managing through here or attempting to manage through. And the conversation morphed to, you know, what do we do as coaches, and then what do we do with respect to talking to our students? And I would just say that over that hour, or a little less than an hour, it was unbelievable to see the co-creative process of our mentor coaches in process, and I think we all left inspired, excited, and as you and I talked later, it was like, wow, we got to try and share some of that with the students, and so that's our purpose today. And for me personally, part of the reason I felt like it's important to share is some of my perspective with respect to the current opportunity for coaching comes from the perspective of my introduction to CTA, which was a decade ago, and during, you know, the financial crisis. And I'd been a CEO of a large bank and had gotten to live kind of day to day, hour by hour, minute by minute through that very stressful time. And I reached out to and hired and worked with a coach through that period of time. And I think, as Lisa knows in particular, it's really what inspired me to invest in CTA. And so, you know, it's from that context that I share with you in terms of answering your question. You know, what would I share with students? What I would share with students is, you know, there are a couple of things that we know about coaching. And one of them is that times of change are ripe for coaching. You know, co-creating through change is what coaches fundamentally do. You know, our goal with coaching is ultimately to create a shift that's key to more people getting unstuck at times where there's less clarity, and we're certainly in that position now. Mm-hmm. The good news for students and coaches and CTA members that are focused on their practices and building their practices is that one of the challenges of finding clients oftentimes is helping a client even understand that they're feeling stuck or that they've got a pain point that's being driven by limiting beliefs. And all the focus right now with respect to COVID and its impacts, both direct and indirect, has a lot of people spending a lot of time focused on their pain points. And, you know, the coach's opportunity, and it's a great time for sample sessions and engagements, is to, you know, use that period of time of kind of fear and move from fear to pain point to ultimately, you know, attacking limiting beliefs. Because, you know, agendas from clients will be more evident than ever. And as you all know as coaches, sometimes that first step can be a little more challenging than one might expect in terms of defining an agenda and getting a clear agenda and understanding needs. And like I said, limiting beliefs are going to be more evident than ever for folks. Oftentimes, I can give an example, a lot of times economics will be a real present limiting belief for folks. As an example, I mean, how can right now in these economic times can I invest as a coach is what a potential client might be thinking. And I'm sure Jen and Dr. Dave will have some great enlightenment on that topic. But, you know, we address that the same way we address other things, which is we start with open questions. You know, what value during this time can a coach bring? Is this a wise investment? And I think we all fundamentally know that coaching is phenomenally powerful when you're really struggling with respect to direction and making change and taking first steps. So that's kind of my answer on a more as a kind of some specifics, Lisa. I think, you know, stepping back for a minute and looking big picture at coaching, I mean, coaching as an industry really has historically benefited from times of uncertainty. I mean, a couple of the big boom times for coaching in terms of step function, meaning the coaching really took off as an industry, or times of maturity in terms of getting better defined, were post 9/11, and then as we started at the front end of your question to me, the Great Recession from 2008 into 2010. I mean, those were really growth periods for coaching, and just in all kind of transparency, those were record years for CTA in terms of our training and our success. As you remember, Lisa and and Jen and Dave, we were all here. And so, I think it's not to paint a super duper rosy picture out there, but it is really to help folks understand that now more than ever, coaching has a powerful role in people's lives. And it is a great opportunity to take the time to really get back to the fundamentals of practice building and those things that we teach at CTA.
Yeah. What is more important now in terms of growing a coaching business, Chris?
You know, I think probably what's more important now is getting back to the basic disciplines of practice building, you know, really focusing on remembering that niches matter and, hub statements and sample sessions, and not a time to necessarily question whether it's time to revisit those things, but a time to rededicate yourself to those disciplines. And, you know, I mean, Jen and Dave can speak to this. I always feel like our mentor coaches are more sage than I by a long shot in this, because they interact with so many students with respect to getting real-time feedback. But, you know, we know that those basic kind of the blocking and tackling of building a coaching practice really matters and works. And, you know, what you do when you focus on those things is you continue to deliver kind of repeated identifiable value for clients, which builds a base of clients who felt positive impact. And we all know that is really that the affinity that's created through those positive resources is what creates more opportunity. People say, well, geez, Lisa, how did you, used to do X and now you do Y? What happened? And Lisa says, well, I worked with my coach. Well, who's your coach? You know, those are the sorts of things that begin to kind of organically seed the environment for future engagements.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, kind of stepping back, we titled this call "Leaning into the Lull While Social Distancing," because a lot of things have slowed down, and it's a time where, you know, we aren't working or commuting or sitting in traffic. We've spent more time in than ever before, and it creates a lull in activity, or at least a pause in our pace of life. So this idea of leaning in makes me think of leaning in to hear or see something more clearly, like an adult leaning in to see or hear a child. You know, so to purposely take opportunity to, you know, listen, observe, and learn, really. So with that as a backup, let me ask Jen first. Jen, so in times like these, what does leaning in mean to you and to your business and to your clients?
Yeah, leaning in is such a great term, first of all, Elise, because that's actually the opposite of what we're told to do right now, right?
Right,
so
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Yeah. Lean in, to me, really means trusting. And I think a lot of people are lacking trust right now, especially business mm-hmm. owners and those who need to trust the most right now. Like, leaning in means trusting that the efforts that you're making maybe aren't going to be fruitful right now, but will in time soon to come be exactly what you need. And so it's not the time to back up, right? It's not the time to lean away. It really is, like Chris is saying, to support and continue to support the efforts that you've always done and not let this situation create any change in the way you show up in the world. It actually should, maybe could, ask more of you right now, even though it seems to be asking less. So trusting, leaning in, is trusting that your efforts are going to be well-received, that your efforts are going to be fruitful, right? And that you can ask someone. I think there's a big fear I hear from a lot of my students that now is not the time to be asking for money, for services. And I think leaning in isn't asking money for services, but it's offering your service to people who really, really freaking need it right now. And right. I think that's going to be a big shift for a lot of folks, if they can make it.
Right. Yeah. I definitely hear that. So, Dr. Dave, to you now, what are your thoughts on leaning in, or maybe... I don't know, self-awareness might be a better word in term of, like, neuroscience. But what does that mean to you and for your clients and your business and your students?
Yeah, great question, Lisa. Well, as we know, coronavirus is certainly changing the world permanently. It's reshaping how we socialize, work, shop, even how we greet each other. We're not even sure when it's safe to leave the house. And this is way bigger than Katrina or 9/11 in that it's worldwide, and some aspects are permanent. And perhaps a similarity is that even though the world will change, we're going to get through it, and we'll have a new normal and thrive in a transformed way. It's already dramatically changed a lot of resistance to moving our lives online and working virtually and remotely. Most of us see the advantage and the capabilities of digital life. And think about that's mostly already what we do as mentor coaches. We trained and continue learning virtually. We work with clients by telephone and video conferencing. And we get to wear cargo shorts all day long.
Absolutely.
So in a way then, we specialize in change. We're expert at choice architecture. Our framework of operating is collaborating with others. So never more has there been a time for our sweet spot of helping others regulate states of mind for an optimum response for peak performance. We're in an ideal position to help others navigate change and transformation. It's a time of unprecedented events, as you said, and especially crisis. So there's never been a greater need for self-regulation and the optimum creation of new stories going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so true. I mean, these are the things I've been really thinking about and marinating in. So gleaning what we can from the now can really set the stage for a shift. You know, we talk about shift in the coaching model. You know, so a change in perspective. And there's really is power in perspective. You know, I'm a picture person. You know, Dr. Dave's a story person. I'm kind of a story picture person too. And what comes to mind is when we talk about perspective is what I think I learned or talked about in a book club discussion many, many years ago, and it's always stuck with me. So the visual is of a housefly. And if you would just imagine a fly, like, flying around a living room and landing on a TV, like landing on the screen. And from that place, the fly is on the screen and can only view things from that spot. So what the fly sees is, you know, black and white dots. Like, that's all there is. But as the fly leaves the screen and buzzes around the room and sees the TV from far away, there's, in that perspective, they can take in the beauty of the picture on the screen. So, and I think it's really very similar to that in our own perspective. You know, in times of change, we kind of zoom in and stay in the micro, when really pulling back and looking at the macro, you know, that's that place of the power of perspective. So with that, Jen, what does the power of perspective mean to you?
Man, first of all, Lisa, genius. I'm so stealing that. Thing.
Go for it.
Fly on TV screen. Noted.
Fly on screen.
Yeah, I think this power of perspective really speaks to my favorite topic, which is the power to choose. And I think a lot of people in this moment, in moments like this, forget that they have a power of choice. And that power to choose is so incredibly rich and so effective when we can access it and remind ourselves that we have it and then access it, because it's that power to choose that really needs to come before the perspective piece. Because if we feel like we don't have a choice, then we can't choose our perspective, right? So that choice is, I just want to remind everybody, including myself, because I need to remind myself of this daily, that there is a choice, like what we choose to focus on, what we choose to look at, what we choose to ingest, what we choose to take in, right, what we choose to put out of our mouth, right, and in our brain, is affecting our perspective and therefore our reality. And I think people really forget that, because this is a time of true, like, oh, victim-y, I'm like a victim, I can't go out, I'm going to get sick, this person's doing that, there's no toilet paper, right? And that is so crazy, like, we are not victims of this. And so you can choose to be a victim, right, and see things that way, or you can remember that you can choose to see things differently. And this power of perspective is so rich for coaches, because that's the work we're in, first of all, so we want to walk our talk, right? And that's the opportunity that's here. The perspective is, this doesn't have to be a traumatic, awful, chaotic, uncertain time. This can be like the complete opposite if you choose to see it that way. This can be a time for reflection. This can be a time for growth, self-awareness. It could be a time for being in service. It could be a time for working on your business in ways that you never had time to work on it before. All you new coaches that you're like, oh my God, I have a day job and I'm supposed to do this. Guess what? You might not have a day job now. You get to work all on your business, right? So it's how you look at it that first of all, that's your choice. And don't forget that you have a choice of how you perceive this, right? And then choose the most productive perspective possible.
Yeah. So, Dave, over to you. What does power of perspective mean to you?
Well, great points, Jen. We need to remember that what we already do is unique in that regard, and in power of perspective. When you want to create change, you create a system, not just a goal. The tools and methods that we use specifically address how to create maps to navigate unknown territory, to frame what's happening, to create a new story. And a map, now needed collaboratively more than ever, tells you where you are, where you're going, mm-hmm. collectively. We as coaches are ideal cartographers to guide this process. A simple example. The brain doesn't know the difference between anxiety and excitement. It registers in exactly the same way in our brains. How we frame it, how we interpret it, will determine how we perceive it. If we frame it as anxiety and danger, better head for cover. If we frame it as opportunity, we look ahead and create strategic plans to reach goals. And this is the simplest way of saying what we do as coaches is to look at possibility rather than problems. We convert mm-hmm. periods into commas in conversation all the time. And of all professions, and I think this is so important, and some of my students who are listening have heard this before, and you, Lisa, I know you've heard this a number of times. of all professions, as professional coaches, we have a unique framework with clients that is different than all other professions. Collaborative. We co-create new stories for each client, for each group or organization we work with. Every other profession has a framework consultancy. The client presents a problem, and the professional solves or gives an answer. Now, here's an example of how that works, and this is where you'll have to bear up, Lisa. When someone consults a physician, the expert physician makes a recommendation. If that recommendation, for example, is a prescription, let's track that. Of all prescriptions given, slightly less than 50% are actually filled. Of those that are filled, slightly less than 50% are taken as directed. So when someone is scared, in pain, and goes to the trouble of consulting an expert, they follow that expert advice less than 25% of the time. And there are a lot of other examples. So, with our framework as collaboration and our co-creative process, in creating new stories, we help someone create success strategies to generate and sustain peak performance. So, wherever we are, whomever we're with, from colleagues to family to clients, we create an environment in which questioning and learning is valued. This is beyond technique or strategy. This is mind, body, spirit beyond.
Awesome. I have heard it before, but it's still great every time. Awesome. So we lean in to listen, we reflect, we learn, which leads us directly into that choice, that choice to choose perspective or to shift perspectives and to view things from like that big picture place, the big picture perspective. And in light of the shift, we can become what I'm going to call contagious, in a good way, contagious around the people in our lives, like be it our friends, our family, our coworkers, the faculty here at CTA, your students, you know, our clients. So specifically in terms of like coaching practices and our serving our clients, like how can we become contagious in a good way as a result of these shifts? Like what would that look like? Jen, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I think, and I'm speaking from my own experience because that's all I really have at this moment, but I think if we're going to be contagious, we have to choose when we put ourselves in front of our clients. So I, for example, I did a couple power hour calls free to my students and clients and, you know, following. And the first one, I was really, really up and I was super positive about it. And I think I was contagious in a good way. And then the next week, I got some emails. They're like, oh, can you do another one at a different time? So I did a second one. But that day, I was not feeling as up. And I did the power hour call, and I feel like I was, like, angry. Like, I had this angry energy, and I feel like I was, it was, like, powerful, but, like, in not the good way. And I felt like, oh, you know, you got to be selective, like, when you put yourself in front of, you know, like, when you're the face. The truth is, yeah, people want the real you, but they also want you to be contagious in a good way. So I say that because we have to be mindful of our contagion, right? And we can be mm-hmm. contagious, not just as coaches, but as people in a number of ways. And sometimes if I'm not feeling super positive, I won't call a friend these days because I don't want to be that contagious because they don't need that right now. In a regular circumstances, they could probably handle it, but right now they're just teetering on, you know, barely holding it together themselves. So I think that when you are in your best place and you can be contagious in a positive way, it's at that time that you can reach out and really give people what you're generating, because people really, really need it right now, and they want it. They're hungry for it. Don't even hesitate. I was telling my classes this the other day. This is like the prime time for you guys who are like, oh, I want to have a group coaching call, but I don't know who would come. Everyone will come right now. This is like a yes time. They are like, they're in the desert and they are dying of thirst, and you are this tall glass of water, like whoever you are, however established you are. So be bold and take advantage of this moment of neediness, really, to draw people in and show them what you have to offer, because it could be as easy as getting a bridge line and doing this. Right, Lise? Like, that's what you did. You're like, okay, let's all get together and look at all the people that showed up. It could be that easy. Don't hesitate to take advantage of this. Be an opportunist. That's what I say. I mean, why squander the opportunity, right? Like, turn this into an opportunity for yourself. And again, do it, like, you know, selectively when you're you're going to be contagious in a good way.
In a good way, right? Right. Dave, what about you? Are you contagious?
You know, since you have everybody on mute, I want to give a quiz and note that my students are going to blurt out the answer if they happen to remember it. that interesting question about contagion. Here's a quiz that a study involving several thousand professionals who studied the subscription to professional services or the rejection of professional services. So what was the major factor that determined for a broad group of professionals why someone would sign on for their services, accept the recommendation, or why they declined? Was it the amount of fee, the state of the economy, credentials of the professional, reputation of the professional, or years of experience? So jot down your answer just quickly. If you're ready for the answer, it's a trick question. It's none of the above. It answers Lisa's question. The fastest contagion in the world, faster than the fastest virus, is state of mind. So the primary reason that people signed on with a professional or declined it, and think about your experience with the various professionals and the recommendations you've gotten and how you've responded, is the clarity and the confidence of the recommendation itself. Clarity in that it's brief, simple, and specific, and the confident state of mind, because states of mind are instantly contagious. They're contagious over the phone just as much as face-to-face, sometimes with less distraction. So those are, I think, important things to remember. And let's balance that. You know, why does hiring a professional coach make sense with all this economic uncertainty and challenge? I hear too, are you asking or thinking? Well, is an investment with an exponential return on that investment. Some of that can be measured. There are four studies of business coaching that showed an average of 6-to-1 return. In other words, $1 invested had a return of $6 for every investment of $1. Other returns have different metrics. The quality and improvement of well-being, mind, body, spirit, relationships, performance, self-management, and self-regulation. In my experience, for someone who works with an excellent mentor coach, it will make a major difference for that person for the rest of their life and business. So, what can we do more specifically? The internet is information uncensored, and I would add unedited. So,
right,
we have to be our own censors, maybe even have professional holidays. We have to take care of ourselves first. So, what we can do, each for ourselves first, because we establish the model that's been conveyed in an experience, a state of mind of confidence, makes all the difference in the world in your professional engagement and whether your recommendation after a sample session or a brief discussion is responded to. And that's the ultimate thing that we can always determine, how we respond. There are a lot of things that we can't respond to, and we're helpless, as our clients are. But what we can do also is to self-regulate, to self-reflect, to focus on what's important. So I hear Lisa thinking, if you don't know what's most important, what do you do then? Let me tell you a brief story, and then I'll pass the mic. One day I was beginning a day in my office, and my wife Carly walked in, and she said, "Well, how are you doing?" And as I began to explain how I was feeling overwhelmed, so many different things to do, as she was pivoting on her left foot and was almost out the door, she held a finger up, just pick one thing. Now, I've done that for hundreds of clients and hundreds of students, but it was a good reminder. So, same thing right now for each of you. When you don't know what's most important, sometimes you've got to just pick one thing. I mean, that's all we ever have to do in life is the next best thing. If we don't know quite what's best, pick one thing and make it the best and then look around again.
Awesome. Brilliant, Dave. Thank you. That's great.
That's a great exercise.
Yeah, and I was going to say, this whole, like, leaning in, learning, gleaning what's going on, shifting perspective, like making the choice to shift, and allowing, that all informs our story. And our story is contagious in either a good way or not a good way, right? And our story makes us relevant to the people around us, relevant to our prospective clients, relevant in how we write, how we show up, how we market, how we attract clients. It's really powerful. So, Chris, I want to go to you. Any want to wrap up last thoughts on all this, and then we'll open up for Q&A. I know I'm sure there are questions out there.
Well, I mean, first of all, I just, as always, want to thank Jen and Dr. Dave, because this for me, these last 40 minutes have been kind of like our faculty call last week, which is energizing and exciting, and they give us a lot to think about. They give me some things to write down. I wish I could still always pass Dave's tests, even though I hear them over and over. But, you know, I think to Dave's point, I'm going to step back kind of big picture on coaching again in terms of just, like, why now? And
right.
and I look at it, my coach a decade ago, the way he suggested thinking about this in terms of, you know, building a mindset and being and remaining authentic, because that's critical. To Jen's point about it, are you going to show up one way or another, helping regulate that mindset? What do you do? And he said, Chris, pick your fuel. You know, it's like going to the refrigerator and you know, you can go for the sugar and get the quick high and then the crash, or you can make the choices that we know are the best choices for creating mindset, energy, and those sorts of things. And so I guess what I'd like to do, Lisa, is try and offer just a couple pieces of fuel for our students. And these are big picture pieces of fuel, but they're grounded in fact, and they really matter with respect to the opportunity for coaches today. And I'm comparing it to a decade ago, when times were tough and a different kind of tough, but still very tough, and the environment very challenging. Coaching is now incredibly accepted. You know, 20 years ago when CTA was first getting started, coaching still kind of had a woo-woo reputation. You know, I know Lisa and some folks have probably heard some of my public speaking, right? I refer back to the old Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live, talking to him, self-talk in the mirror. You know, and coaching has really moved forward, and it's known by people now, and it's seen as something positive. And they may not know exactly what coaching is if they haven't experienced it. But first of all, a lot more people have experienced it. And then those that haven't typically know someone that has. And so historically, that was a challenge for coaches, like to get potential clients to even understand and accept that coaching might be an opportunity. So that's a for real definer of the universe of opportunity for all of us as coaches. And then the second is kind of another big shift which has occurred, which is demographics. 10 years ago, we used to talk about how for coaches, they need to be a certain age and have a certain amount of life experience. And the same kind of held with clients, right? And so the target market was defined by, kind of middle age on up folks. Well, we now know that that was a false belief. Millennials, the largest generation out there, are the most accepting and most eager to be coached, the most willing to invest in themselves. And in the corporate environment in particular, they're the most hungry. I know Jen has seen this and Dr. Dave has seen this. I mean, one of our corporate clients at CTA, they were training their HR team and they put out a note and they had 134 emerging leaders out of 150 who responded saying, hey, we want coaching. And so those demographics, that's a big generation of folks that are open to coaching. And now is the time, this is the first experience for them, this kind of big shift. This specific experience is first for all of us. But it's, having kind of your fundamentals rocked, that's new for these millennials. And then the second is, again, demographic, which is the age wave of baby boomers. Huge new niches have opened. And the environment probably has some of those folks reconsidering what their plans were. Another huge opportunity for coaches. And so I guess in terms of framing the mindset of our own energy and perspective as we enter into whether it's a group coaching situation or talking to potential clients, I think we need to know that while it may feel like the wind is blowing in our face economically, the waves of demographics and the acceptance of coaches are behind each of us. And I think that's a really important thing to remember as we, regulate our mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we promised Q&A. Let's open up for questions. I'm not going to unmute everyone because there's a ton of people here. So why don't we do this? If you have a question, hit *6 to unmute. And feel free to, ask a question to any of us. Oh, do say your name, too. That would be good. So *6 to unmute if you've got questions. Perhaps left everyone speechless. Any questions?
This is Roseanne. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Roseanne.
Okay, so I'm going back to kind of the beginning of the talk, and I had a little conversation with some other brand-new coaches, and I am also a brand-new coach yesterday. We were sort of supporting each other, and I can't remember, but I think it might have been Jen who said, offer our services to those who need it. And the question from our group yesterday was, would you offer those services for free since people are struggling right now, or would you give the first session free and ask if they want to continue? How would you handle that?
I'll take that, Lise.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Roseanne. I think that there's a number of ways to do it, because remember, you're the boss, applesauce. You can do it any way you want. So there's not one recipe for, success. Follow your gut, of course, like what feels right, but not based from not from a fear-based sense, but from an abundance mindset, right? So when I ask my gut that, and I check in, like, oh, people are kind of money conscious right now. How am I going to ask for a full fee? Does that even seem fair? Is that rude? Right? Yeah, I get it. What if you could offer something for free, pro bono, as I like to call it, complimentary, and then through that complimentary offer, have them taste and experience who you are and what you offer so that they want more of what you're offering at full fee. So I'm not a huge fan of quote unquote discounting fees. I think we are very valuable. I think I know we are professionals and that our fee is, we are worth what we charge. So I'm not a huge fan of discounting. Some people are. But what if you could offer more services complimentary so that when they can taste that, feel it, touch it, love it, they are more drawn in. So it's more of that pull versus push marketing. So I would get creative with some complimentary offerings that you can use to have people experience you.
Would you consider some of these phone calls, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe you ramp up. Like, there was a student of mine that was saying they're ramping up. Like, they would typically say, I have 5 slots open for a complimentary sample session. Well, this gal was like, I've increased my slots to 15 due to the, but there's still sample sessions, right? It's just she's being more generous with her complimentary time. It's getting creative.
For sure, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
What else? What other questions? That was a great question. Thank you, Roseanne.
Let me add one thing to that question, unless somebody has one ready.
Go ahead.
And this kind of integrates what Chris said and what Jim said, which are excellent. And right now, I saw a recent survey by HollyMind that found that after personal fear, the biggest challenge during this pandemic is not knowing how to help others. And this virus is ubiquitous. It's an equal opportunity organism, no passport, no physical condition. So now I believe it is a time to assess or reassess, maybe even to look at shifting or pivoting, as the question implied, and as Chris mentioned, to do more of what we really know, and then to see if that works for our groups. But to recognize the need to reconsider, reevaluate, consider maybe a plan B or plan C, as that question implied, fairly quickly. Look at if your plan is working with your clients, do you have the resources, how will you need to change, and make the changes within first. You have to buy in yourself before anyone else can. Remember the study, confidence is the most important initial factor because that's contagious instantly, and it's not conscious and logical, but it's how people make decisions. If you lined up 10 objects in front of somebody, hooked them up to an fMRI, you could predict exactly the one thing that they would buy out of that 10 because it's what lights up their sense of self, their identity. And we go along with whatever our identity is. So that's how quickly we make decisions, several seconds before we're even consciously aware of it. So it's important to think about doing this for ourselves first and engaging someone with knowing that we're going to be able to help them and look at and assess our plan instead of continuing to inhabit a story if it's not quite working. Because that's exactly what we do in coaching. If it works, do more of it. If it doesn't work, do something else.
Right.
So maybe a good question for coaches to ask right now is that appreciative inquiry question, what do I do really well? And more importantly than what do I do well, or equally important, is what do I love to do? So I always tell students this, do the marketing efforts that you love, because if you do the ones that you despise, you're going to suck at it. And then, right, so just because everyone says, oh, you should be on Facebook, if you'd rather have a root canal than post one thing on Facebook, please don't do that, right? If you love networking, you love to be face-to-face with people, when time permits, you'll do that, right? Like, do the thing that you love and that you are good at, because chances are they overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and be selective there.
Yeah, I always say in the Becoming a Coach class, like, lean into your giftedness with marketing.
Yeah.
Like, lean into what you're good at. Lean into that. Like, you've got gifts and talents and abilities, and, like, lean into that, because that's when you're going to be the most contagious, right, when you're doing what you're good at and what you love. So it just, it really makes sense. Let's see, what else is out there? What other questions do you guys have? You do have to hit *6 to unmute.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Can you all hear me? Hi.
We
this
can.
This is Brianna. Hi there.
Hi, Brianna.
Hi, Bree. I really appreciate this discussion. It's been super motivational, and I totally agree with the points. And the opportunity alone of experiencing this right now, I feel, and I believe as well, is to our advantage. I hope this conversation is recorded. That was one thing I wanted to ask. Okay, so many awesome points and taking notes, and there's so much more I want to write down. But my main question is, there going to be some collaborative resource where coaches can put input about what may be working for them in these times? Like, my personal thing would be, like, resources for bootstrapping a small business, like just even the basics right now, and just maybe some concrete resources as well, and just how we can all collaborate creatively that way.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
Lisa, I'll talk to some that are kind of out there now, and then to your point, if, in terms of, I mean, do not underestimate the power of your virtual classroom, since we've got, you know, current students on, and the network of your peers. And we oftentimes find that those groups, whether it's the classroom group or your buddies or pairs of buddies, go on to continue to work with each other and support each other and coach each other for years. So, you know, there's some incumbent existing resources. We've got a graduate page for Facebook. We have our own Facebook community that you all are more than welcome to use to help foster, you know, not only just a sense of community, but to get questions asked and answered, both. And, you know, the same holds true for, you know, posting questions to your mentor coach. You know, Dave and Jen can talk to this, but those the coursework and the time in course and the syllabus are one thing, but the ability for you to step out of kind of the day-to-day learning and process to ask a question relevant to something that you're challenged with in terms of building your business now, please ask. We've got those resources, and we've got specific resources that are both known by faculty as well as known by our graduates and things that might work. And so really encourage you to engage in those things. And, you know, obviously there are also additional tools at CTA in terms of, you know, graduate class offerings and that address some of the areas you may have questions.
And one practical addition to that, I mean, I totally agree with and respect that. Remember that people don't pay us for methods or models. They pay us for results, for benefits, to solve issues with them that they can't by themselves. The quickest way to kill that dead in the water is to give them answers. The most common thing that gets in the way of understanding something is trying to fix it. Here are a couple of other moments in time juxtaposed to right now. In 1943, the chairman of IBM said, "I think there's a world market for maybe five computers." In 1899, the commissioner of the U.S. Office of Patents said, "Everything that can be invented has been invented." So the best learners are risk takers. Right now, everything in so many ways is a new learning experience, and everything feels like risk. So we have to remember our core principles to guide us in making maps for change with people and their transformation. When we believe that, it's going to show. It's going to be contagious. So, and again, we as mentor coaches are trained cartographers, something we do with every client to create a new map as part of a new story. So as learners, we're not afraid to risk making a mistake. The best learners always examine what they're doing
Awesome. Thank you. Great answers. What else? What other questions? Any other questions out there? Remember, you need to star 6 to unmute. All right. Maybe that's a wrap. Anyone else? Last-minute questions?
Here's what Yogi Berra
said. This is Riesland. Can you hear me?
Oh, now we can. Who is this?
Riesland?
Go ahead.
Riesland, like the German white wine. Hello, everyone. Thank you for this. It's just amazing, so motivational. This is so, so, so great. So my question is basically related. We were talking about the state of confidence and how, like, it's the basis of every single thing we're doing as a coach, and that's pretty much, like, the basis of being contagious and being able to really, like, be that magnet and, like, pull into you all the clients that you want and be able to, like, help them and transform their life. So in that same note, what are the tools that we can actually make use of to completely expand our state of mind? Like, is there, like, some specific tools on how to work on ourselves, like jump or whatever we need to do? Is there pretty much like a platform where we have access to some ideas on the confidence level?
Who wants to get that one? Jen, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So the question is, are there any tools to help the coach build their own confidence? Is that right?
Yeah, and pretty much just have that state of mind where they are absolutely confident so they can be the most contagious.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. Of course, I can only think of the ones that I've created, but I think if you're a reader, so here's the thing. If you're a reader, read. If you're a listener, get on podcasts, right? And there's a ton of them. If you are someone who gets more of your, you know, state of mind, your juice from collective experience, find those webinars like this or you know, social hours that they have, cocktail hours virtually that so many people are having. Or, you know what? Start your own. Like, what is it? Like, what's the thing that's going to get your perspective in line the easiest and fastest? Because it's different for everyone. Like, if someone said, oh, you should read this book, I'm like, I'm not a reader. You know? So, like, what else you got? So it's like, pick the thing that's really going to guide you, and then be the catalyst for that thing. You know, why wait? Maybe this is the time, like, you're a writer, so you're like, shit, I'm going to use this time to write a book. Like, this is my source, and by writing that book or writing that blog or writing that, you know, article, it's going to jazz me. Like, so I would ask that to you, like, what's the thing that jazzes you the most? And then either seek that out or create it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
To add to that, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Dr. David and Jen, I really appreciate kind of Jen's perspective on this. I think to get granular for a moment, and I know we're moving towards the top of the hour, so I'll be quick here, but, you know, I think if you look at the qualities of self-regulators, those things that self-regulators and managers of mindset do well, I think applying some of those disciplines can be really helpful. And it's coaching yourself a little bit. It's asking the open question is, are you doing these things or reflecting these things? Are you seeing the good in others? You know, are you viewing challenges as opportunities? Are you maintaining open communication? Are you being clear about your intention? You know, are you aligned with your values, with your actions? Are you putting forth kind of your best effort, you know? And are you maintaining some flexibility and ability to adapt? Those are the things that allow us to find calm and allow us to feel more control. and being cognizant of those things before you step into your practice, before you go into a coaching session, before you go offering a sample session, or before you do a group coaching, taking some moment to be to practice a little mindfulness. And those are the things that can help bring some calm, release some anxiety, and reinforce that you're on the right path.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. Dave,
thank you.
Dave, you had something too. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is just an elaborated specific agreement with Chris and Jen, that one way to think about doing that is to get very grounded and centered. When we're grounded and centered, we have access to all of our states of mind, including confidence, including the ability to respond contingently to what anyone else says and not lose our own position. That may be a simple mantra of cue or focus of physiology. It may be a simple one-minute mindfulness meditation. I do that before I accept every call from a client, before I begin every training or every teleseminar with CTA, to do a very basic getting grounded and centered. Because as we know with clients, state always comes first before strategy and story, because state determines the whole mindset, the state of mind that we apply. So if a client has some difficulty with regulation or is upset or has some other slightly even altered state at the beginning, the first step is to resonate empathically with them, and that enters their circle to create a common ground. Then we can go someplace new with them together. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do with ourselves. That's what we do with our clients. That's fundamental. I don't think it can be deconstructed any further than that. So use the model or the method that works for you getting grounded and centered. It's just important to remember to do it every time so that you show up 100%. And that will be the very best thing you can do to prepare for your client. You have all the skills and the training and all that, but it's also that moment that you do that.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, so I'm going to wrap up here because we are at the top of the hour. But, hey, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us. This has been amazing. Also, keep an eye out. We're going to send out a mailer with the link to this recording, so if you want to listen to again, I mean, I'm someone that if I hear something good, hearing it again is even better. So you may want to listen again. We'll send you out a link to listen. I want to thank you all for joining us, and a big shout-out to Chris Osborne. Thank you, Chris, and Jennifer, and Dr. Dave, for your time, your wisdom, your perspectives on this. It's just been amazing. So thank you all for joining us. And everyone have a great day. Be safe.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.